Welcome along to William Hill's Boxing Podcast in the company of Steve Bunce as ever. You well, Steve?
Listen, Lee, never been better. I would like to say I'm winding down, but that would be a ridiculous lie.
I know, yeah. That big weekend coming up next weekend, of course. Let's start off talking about the heavyweights, Buncey, because it's never far from our thoughts at the moment with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Anthony Joshua coming out fighting verbally this week as well, saying he's booked the stadium, he's got the date. If anyone wants to come in and fight him, they're more than welcome. Brilliant, isn't it? It's fascinating. It's fascinating how the kind of the dynamic of Joshua almost becoming the kind of sideshow here, even though he's the man with all the belts apart from the one. It's going to be brilliant over the next few months, isn't it, Buncey? And the next few years, actually.
Well, let's hope the three fight each other. Because we just assume it's going to be the rematch of Fury and Wilder, or Joshua's going to sneak in and get one of them. Doesn't work that way, Lee. You know, boxing's littered with fights that don't happen. And trust me, it's got to be a decent bet that these three in 18 months don't fight anybody. Certainly not each other. Joshua's upset. Joshua has been the golden boy, the idol, the man that sells out stadiums, the man that can't put a foot wrong. Suddenly, he's had to endure basically 6 weeks of Fury and Wilder calling him a coward. And there's nothing he can do. You're a coward. You didn't take the fight. You're a coward. You didn't take the fight. So he's gone over to America, and he's opened his mouth, and everything he said has been taken verbatim. If he said the earth's flat, that people would quote, and Joshua said the earth's flat. At the moment, it's a bit absurd. It's gone so far the other way. The Americans are so desperate to catch up in the heavyweight business, and they haven't been in the heavyweight business for a couple of decades. Joshua is desperate for a fight with either Wilder or Fury. Fury and Wilder, I think, will have a rematch. But you know what? In a week's time, when we're back on talking about Frampton and Warrington, that might have all changed. The good thing is, let's get this right. People are talking about the heavyweight division. 4 or 5 years ago, think about it. It would have been Vitaly or Vladimir swapping things with someone fighting for an interim version like Ruslan Shagayev in front of 8 people in Chechnya, and no one was talking about it. Even on Box Nation, we were struggling to get people to talk about it when we were doing it live. Now it's buzzing. It's glowing. You know, people are saying things to me like, how did he get up? That's their opening comment. I've never met the person before. And they'll come up to me and say, Buncey, how did he get up? And I know what they mean. That's great, Lee. Mm. We're in a busy business, and a busy business means good.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk obviously more about the Dillian White, Derek Chisora fight on next week's podcast. But that's going to be a fun week, Buncey, isn't it? Watching these two build up to this fight.
I mean, you've got Derek. Let's take it. You know, obviously, I've got a vested interest. You know, I'm going to be working BT at the Frampton and Warrington fight, and I would say that's a better fight. It's a more meaningful fight. Will it be a more entertaining fight? We don't know, because Del Boy and White have history. We've seen 12 great rounds, and I can't see why we won't see another 12 great rounds. That's a great fight. But you know, let's put it into context. On, you know, in old-fashioned money, in looking at the boxing as in the purest of forms, Frampton and Warrington is a zillion leagues above that. Now, what we're talking about here with Frampton and Warrington is a Premier League clash that we think is going to be brilliant. And what we're looking at with White and Chisora is something from the lower divisions that we know will be a great scrap. Let's be honest. The fact that it's being compared like for like is testament to what Chisora and White did the first time round. And it's really tricky, because if you suggest that, people think you're being biased. Frampton's only lost to one man, Leo Santa Cruz, a guy that's destined to go down as one of the top ever Mexican fighters. He beat him, and then he lost to him. And Santa Cruz wouldn't go to Belfast for the third fight. Warrington's unbeaten, won the title on a heady night in front of 30,000 people in his hometown when he was a massive underdog. That, in any decade, is a classic all-British world title fight. Let's not get away from that. Yeah. And let's not get caught up in too much hype. Let's hope Derek Chisora doesn't pick up another cardboard table to throw at somebody. Because Warrington and Frampton are all about pride and dignity. And I just think it's a great fight.
Yeah, it's a fascinating night for boxing fans, Bunty, because, you know, on the face of it, you're right. I mean, for, you know, that fight, you know, I was at the Warrington, you know, world title win at Elland Road, and it was one of the best sporting nights I've been at for, you know, and I'm not a Leeds fan. I just thoroughly enjoyed the night, and obviously, you know, seeing Warrington do what he did was brilliant. So that's going to be a great fight. But that you know, that'll be a, you know, a high energy, high octane, distance fight potentially. But then you've got Dillian White and Derek Chisora, which just could be anything, couldn't it? You know, people are excited by the kind of, you know, the knockout level of it. So you've literally got something for, you know, for all kind of all boxing fans on one night, which is going to be brilliant.
And I just hope the winner of Dillian White and Del Boy Chisora, the winner, no matter who it is, I hope he gets Anthony Joshua next year, because you know what, they would both deserve it, and they're as deserving as anybody else who may or may not get shoehorned in. So if Joshua doesn't fight Fury or Wilder in April of next year at Wembley, it has to be the winner, in my opinion, of Chisora and White. White deserves a rematch, and Del Boy, how can you deny him? He's a fairy tale on legs.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Let's have a look at this weekend, shall we? We'll go to the Madison Square Garden fight for Rocky Fielding in a second. First of all, let's touch in on the Brentwood Centre in Essex, Bunty. We've got Sonny Edwards, 9-0, so still on the rise, obviously. Fighting a fantastically named Junior Granados, who's a Mexican who's got a record of 16-5-1. He's been stopped a couple of times. In fact, he didn't win his first fight until his fourth contest back in 2015. He had a draw and a couple of losses in his opening bouts. It'll be typically Mexican in style. Sonny Edwards fighting for the WBO European Super Flyweight title, defending it after winning that last year, wasn't
it? So defending his European title against the Mexicans.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
That. Maybe it's about language. Maybe it's European languages. It's a WBO Spanish European speaking. Languages title.
It's a fascinating, fascinating idea, isn't it? But nothing ever surprises us in boxing, does it, Bunty? He's 1-25 here, Bunty. He shouldn't have any problems. Granados is 9-1, the draw, 33-1. Is it how he does it?
I've seen Granados before, and he's tough, mate. Don't worry about that. He's a brawling, underestimated Mexican, and Sonny is still a kid. You know, he still looks about 12 years of age. I think this is a hard fight. I think he wins, but it wouldn't surprise me if he has to go the distance. Wouldn't surprise me if it's really hard, really tight. I fancy Edwards, and I fancy him long.
The decision is 8-15 for Edwards. The stoppage is 13-8.
What's a late stoppage, Lee?
You can get 16-1 on round 10, 14s on round 9.
I quite like those two.
Yeah, decent, yeah. Let's have a look at the main event, shall we, Bunty, in terms of what we're looking at and on the actual night itself on Madison Square Garden. Fascinating fight, this one. Rocky Fielding going over to fight the superstar, Saul Canelo Alvarez. Rocky's record, 27-1, 15 KOs in his wins. His one defeat came against Callum Smith back in 2015. Alvarez record, it's always staggering when you read this, 51-2, 34 KOs in his career so far. He's only 28 still, unbelievably. And his one loss, of course, came against Floyd Mayweather Jr. back in 2013. The fascinating thing about this, Bunty, is that, you know, the move up in weight again. You know, fighting Rocky Fielding, it strikes me like they've just looked around the world and plucked someone out who they think is a nice, easy start to the super middleweight career. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's
fair on Rocky Fielding, by the way.
No, it's not fair on Rocky Fielding, but they're not bothered. They're not in the Rocky Fielding business. They're in the Alvarez business. He's got this deal. It's 5 years, 11 fights. Okay, so you can't plan all 11. You can't plan 10 of them. But what you can do is you can look at dates and you can look at potential. So they would have sat down. They would have said, okay, let's get something sorted before Christmas. Okay, so that's the next. Let's move on. Let's have a look at May next year. Is that going to be a big one? Might be a big one, might not be. Then look at September next year. Is that going to be a big one, or is it going to be a small one? That's how they would have planned it. So they'd have an asterisk somewhere for Daniel Jacobs, the middleweight, an asterisk somewhere for Gennady Golovkin, an asterisk somewhere for potentially someone coming up from welterweight, maybe in 18 months, Errol Spence coming up at light middle. So they'll have all these asterisks. And they would then look at some odd fights, some freak fights. I can see the thinking completely. So they'll think, what's a super middle? And they'll look at Rocky Field, and let's not mince our words, they'll see Rocky Field and they'll say, that's a weak link, we can pick that title up, we can get him for nothing. He's getting, he's getting about a guarantee of about whatever it is, 40 odd million per fight dollars, but it can double, it can swell if the pay-per-view, if the sale's on DAZN. It's $9.99 to watch this fight for the month, you get a month subscription for that. So you get a month of DAZN fights. It's a great deal, and it's something that's going to lose money until it starts making money. When it starts making money, it's going to change, revolutionize the way we do boxing. But it's a long way from making money. Let's get that right. 16,000 people in America subscribed when Anthony Joshua fought Povetkin. That's 16,000 people. Now, that is a peanuts subscription turnout. Eddie Hearn fought that 325,000 sales for Fury against Wilder was bad. Well, 16,000 people in America decided they wanted to watch Anthony Joshua. Only $9.99. Think about that. Mm. If the Fury and Wilder fight in America had been $9.99, it would have been a bit more than 325,000. That's neither here nor there. So they've got Rocky Field. Let's hope he's getting life-changing money. What I find really amazing, and I think Jamie Moore thinks the same, and I know Rocky Field's the same, is that when they offered them the fight, they didn't say, oh, and by the way, instead of coming in at 12 stone, you've got to come in at 11, 11, 11. And on the following day, this is all unofficial stuff, and the following day, you can't weigh more than 12 stone 5 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what they could have done, because Rocky, with life-changing money, would have agreed to that. They didn't say that. So that means that Rocky can come in at bang on 12 stone when he weighs in, can rehydrate to about 13 stone, whereas Canelo Alvarez, who operates at light middle 11 stone or middle 11.6, although he's never a big 11.6, that means he, in theory, on the night could be over a stone lighter. So he's given away several inches in height and over a stone in weight. I'm amazed that Canelo, with all the power and his people, didn't make Rocky lose some extra weight. That's traditionally what's happened. Sugar Ray Leonard did that a million years ago. Canelo's done it in the past. Mayweather loves it. He loves that type of thing. It's what Pacquiao, they've all done it in the past, because they're the breadwinners. They're the bread providers. They make the money. And you're in there making life-changing money. You're the dance partner. And this is what we demand of you. I'm amazed they didn't make that. Now, that tells you two things. They think Rocky's an easy touch. And that's the best news for Rocky possible. I see Rocky shocking everybody. I don't know if Rocky can win, don't get me wrong, but I see Rocky shocking everybody and taking Canelo the distance. I really do. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced, unless Rocky gets sucked in and gung-ho by a crowd of 18,000, it would not surprise me if Rocky takes him the distance. And I think Canelo will win on points, but I will not be at all surprised if he takes him the distance.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Bunty, because there's a few bets around that. I mean, Alvarez is 1-25 to win this, fielding 8-1, the draw 33-1. But then you look at an Alvarez win on points, he's 7-2. So that's it. Is it 2-9 for him to stop fielding? So that is the value shout there. Another couple here that we don't often talk about the total rounds betting, because it's an over or under. This time it's over or under 7.5 rounds, and the over is 11-8. So if you get into the eighth round, you're getting paid out at 11-8, which I think is a decent price. I mean, you don't even need to go the distance. Just needs to get into the second half of the fight effectively. So fight to go the distance is 100-30, but realistically, if you going to back that, you may as well back the Rocky Field that ain't winning on points, is he?
No, 7-2.
It's going to be fascinating isn't it? Because Rocky Fielding, he'll be clever enough to use that height advantage and obviously the weight advantage, but obviously the quality of Alvarez should show through, and he will have sparred throughout his career with bigger guys than him anyway.
But they're sparring with them, and then they're suddenly being him, a guy wearing 10-ounce gloves. A guy that's a smart fighter, Rocky Field, and he got it wrong when he got stopped by Callum Smith, who, by the way, recently stopped George Groves. So that's not, it's not like he lost to an average fighter. He lost to an exceptional fighter who's still unbeaten. Yeah. And he got it wrong on that particular night. He got sucked into an all-Liverpool derby, and he came out the wrong end. Kept getting up, though, so it's not like, he'll never quit. He's smarter. He's a smarter fighter than people give him credit for. and Jamie Moore and Nigel Travis in his corner, they will be thinking sensibly. Glory is not part of what they do. They'll be thinking sensibly. They will. There's no gung-ho in Jamie Moore or Nigel Travis. When Jamie boxed, he was all gung-ho. As a trainer, he's a really smart guy, and that's what he'll need, a smart man in a corner. A guy not looking for glory, a guy looking for victory, and a guy looking for victory in a sensible way. You're not going to overwhelm Canelo. We know that. You can't hurt him with a double-barrel shotgun and a chainsaw. So that means it's points. That's the only thing they're looking at. And the only way you beat him on points is by being smart, and that's what they'll be going for. I don't think they can pull it off, but I think they can go the distance, and I think they can make it really interesting the whole time.
Yeah. Good luck to Rocky. He still holds a special place in my heart. I think he was my only winning bet in Price Fighter way back when. Like 2011, I think it was, when he won the
2011 mark.
That was like his fourth or fifth pro fight, I think, wasn't it?
He was the underdog in all three of those fights.
He was
at best evens. I mean, he was an underdog in two of the three, without a doubt.
That was one of your great shouts at Buncey, Rocky Fielder.
You know what it was, and I think if you ever went and found that tape, I said it because he's got a boxing brain, and I'm a big believer that you win Prize Fighter by boxing, by having a good brain. I saw Audley Harrison won it twice without breaking a sweat. Mm. Gavin Reese at light welterweight won it by boxing. Yeah, Martin Murray won it by boxing. The ruckers and the fighters and the lunatics, they give us the thrills and the spills, but they end up losing, being pulled out with bad cuts or swollen eyes. Rocky's a sensible fighter, and he's a risk-free fighter, and that's why I think he gives Canelo a good workout. I really do.
Yeah, 7-2 for Canelo on points then is the pick of the podcast this week. Back next week, Buncey, for the White Chisora and Warrington Frampton and all the other bits and pieces around that. So have a great weekend this weekend, and we'll chat to you next week.
Thanks very much, Lee. Speak to you next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.